Hey everyone, Chad here. Before diving into this episode, I want to let you know about my other podcast. It's called Light Your Fire, and it is designed to light a fire under your ass. If you're a person who feels like you have untapped potential, you feel like there's more to do, more to be, more to give, more to create, more to build, this is the podcast for you. So many of us, we push when we're young. We push in sports. We push for college. We push for a career. We push for that relationship and the marriage. And we push for kids. We push for having a house. And then at some point, we feel like we just stop pushing. We get into this really comfortable, safe place. And that's a very dangerous place to be. We need to continue climbing mountains, pushing up that mountain, working for every inch, struggling, facing resistance, facing challenges, and figuring out what we are truly capable of doing. I always think about a lion that's locked in a cage, being hand-fed slabs of meat. Lions are not supposed to be locked in cages, being hand-fed slabs of meat. They're not supposed to do roars for the entertainment of your family. They are designed to be out in the wild, hunting and killing and protecting. And when they're taking out of that natural instinct, yes, they're safe. They're not in the wild anymore, but that's not what they're born to do. And for so many of us, we have these anchors that hold us down from ever climbing these big mountains, these things that we want. If we want to lose weight, if we want to start a business, if we want to write a book, figuring out what that true potential is, that our true purpose here on earth is to figure out what we are truly capable of doing. And you're never going to do that in a comfortable place. You have to push the boundaries. You have to face resistance. You have to challenge yourself to figure out what you can do and how can you persevere through that. This podcast is designed to start giving you all of those keys, those anchors, the limiting beliefs, the self-doubt, the excuses, the lack of discipline, the lack of habits, positive habits, the lack of environment, having the right people around you. Those are all anchors that are going to hold you down. This podcast gives you the keys to start unlocking those anchors. And guess what? Once the anchors come off, once the cage door becomes open, you are free to start climbing these big ass mountains, to get yourself on a completely different trajectory of life. That's why I want you to go listen to that podcast. It's called Light Your Fire, 10 to 15 minute episodes that I upload a lot of, and they are going to give you the boot in the ass. I'm out. Boom. Hey everyone, Chad here, and welcome to another edition of the Chad Shipley Show, where I bring you interesting, insightful, and entertaining content or people. Today is a special episode. It's the first of its kind for the Chad Shipley Show. I've had members on from my gym before, Dr. Nate Reese, my chiropractor. He's a mastermind when it comes to all things health and wellness. Had on my good friend Chris, who talked about his up-and-coming summit of Mount Kilimanjaro, which he recently just completed. I can't wait to have him back to hear about that incredible adventure. But this member is different. This member is here to talk about their journey with fitness. It makes sense, right? I'm a gym owner. It's about time I have my members on to talk about their amazing transformations. And this is an amazing person to start with. Her name is Alexis Humberson, and she is awesome. She started with Sweat Bar Fitness in our first year of opening. She's been with us ever since, which is now over 3 years for her. We're coming up on 4 years. In that time, she went through a complete transformation, losing 60 pounds. Her before and after pictures, she gave me permission to share them. So they're probably out there on social media if you want to find them. They are absolutely incredible. Like, they blew me away. And I thought, I need to have her on to share her secret to success, because her secret is one that will work for everyone eager to know what it is. Well, it's doing the right thing and doing it consistently for long enough that the miracle happens. Being a gym owner, there's a reality that I have come to know. I call it pain versus pain. In short, when presented with two options, people tend to take the path of least resistance, or the path that's the least difficult. In the example of weight loss, people will say they want to lose 20 pounds. Great. Here's the plan to lose 20 pounds. We got that. We know how to do it. But after seeing how difficult the plan is, after going through that, after climbing that mountain and feeling that resistance, a lot of people will elect to not move forward because it's easier for them to actually stay the same. And this is anything. This is people that want to build a business, people that want the promotion, people that want to write the book. If the path to get there is more difficult than the path of just staying the way that you are, most people will not go down that path. Think about a person with a drinking problem. The person will never stop drinking until the pain of being the way that they are outweighs the pain that they'll have to go through to never drink again, or the perceived pain of never drinking again. The opposite is also true. There are people who will do anything it takes because they want the change. They have a fire in their eyes. You can see it. I typically see it right away. They refuse to stay the same, because staying the same is actually more painful than changing. And so they're at a point where they're willing to do whatever it takes. And Alexis is that person. She had the fire in her eyes. When she started the gym 3.5 years ago, she had it in her mind that she was going to change and she was going to do whatever it takes. So she fought through all of that resistance until she got to a point where she hit her goal. She tells her story. It's everything that I thought it would be. It's full of inspiration. She talks about her desire to be healthy and have energy for her kids, to be a great role model for her kids, and to have them be exposed to a healthy lifestyle. She talks about her whole family and how they all joined Sweat Bar. Just a shout out to them real quick. Her dad, Alex, is awesome. The guy puts a smile on my face every time I see him. Sun's out, guns out, Alex. Her mom, Paula, the kindest person in the world, in here every day working her butt off and also kicking some serious ass on her journey. Her sister, Abby, who recently left us for college, but is a staple in the Sweat Bar community. I almost said was a staple. She is a staple in the Sweat Bar community, and she has been for a long time. Everyone loves her. I can only hope my daughter works the way that she worked at such a young age. It's just so cool to see a person 17, 18 years old learning how to do all the exercises and then coming in and just working really hard. And then Alexis's other sister, April, she's been in and out of Sweat Bar, but also a smiling face that makes us happy every time she pops in and she gets to work out with us. Alexis even talks about her grandma, who is 94 years old. She comes in and she sits at our bar, in our bar area, and she just hangs out. She watches the workout. I always like to go up and give her a fist bump, and she usually smiles, just makes my day. I wasn't sure what else we would talk about other than her journey, but I knew, just because of knowing her, I knew we would unlock some really interesting topics, and she blew me away. It was a really fun and insightful conversation. I know you're going to get a ton out of it. I actually can't wait for you to listen. So without further ado, I'm going to let you get at it. Please enjoy this wildly inspiring conversation with Alexis Humberson. Talking to that?
Hello. Can you hear me?
You probably don't have to be that close here.
Is it too loud? See? I told you I talk loud.
And we're recording. Cool. Alexis, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling a little nervous.
But it's good that we're not on video, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll make it fun. We'll start out with some quick fire questions. So I'm just going to ask you a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
You know the answer to all this stuff, so it'll be real easy.
Sounds good.
And we'll go from there. All right. So, how old are you?
How old am I? I'm 32.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. I should have led with, I get to ask a bunch of questions that you would never ask someone like normally.
Yeah.
32. Okay. So kids, how many kids do you have?
I have 2 kids. They're 5 and almost 4. 2 boys.
They're that close?
Yeah. I had them 1.5 years apart.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. My one was 9 months old when I had the second on accident. He was a beautiful accident, but it was an accident.
I've always been curious about this because I just have Ella. And I always thought that having another one close in age would be awesome because they would play together a lot. But is it more of that or is it just a nightmare because they fight all the time?
It's a mixture of both.
Yeah.
So I had, at first it was a nightmare, okay, because you're like trying to breastfeed a baby and your 1.5-year-old also wants mm-hmm. to hang on you. Nightmare. Diapers at the same time.
Yeah.
That was terrible. Now it's kind of fun. So they play together. They will fight, but honestly, like they will be missing for like an hour and they'll be like hanging out in the older one's room, like playing together and like beating each other up, but like having the best time. So yeah. I actually really enjoy that they're that close. It was hard though for the first 3 years for sure.
I think it's probably a lot of both, and that'll probably continue as they get older and older and older.
They definitely fight.
But I definitely think, on the parents, it's gotta be so much harder to like have 2 mm-hmm. and be going through that, or even more than 2, But then later in life, I think it's definitely a blessing, you
Yeah,
know.
I got all of my, like, that part of my life out of the way really fast
Yeah.
because I don't think I want to have any more kids. So, like, I literally was like 3 years of my life spent doing that. And
Yeah.
now I'm just like raising my two beautiful boys and I'm all done.
Yeah.
It's nice now, but at the beginning, I
But in
was
like 10
stressed.
years, you're gonna be like, oh, I miss all that. I wanna go
Yeah.
back.
Oh, definitely. I
Yeah.
feel that way
Yeah.
all the time. Like, I'm like yelling at them and I'm like, I'm gonna miss this in 2 years, you know, and when
Yeah.
they're no longer asking me for things.
Yeah, it flies too, because people always said that to me. They're like, it's gonna go so fast, you know, you're gonna blink and she's gonna be, you know. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, it doesn't really seem fast.
Oh,
And then
no, it
like it
doesn't.
just flew. And
Yeah.
it was those years that I loved, and I'm like, no, where does years? Yeah, so it goes fast. All right, so what do you do for work?
I am a nurse. Right now, I'm working at UPMC as a travel nurse.
Yeah.
So I do critical care and I go to all the UPMC facilities. So that's what I do right now. I work 3 days a week, 12-hour shifts, and it's rotating. So I work nights and days.
So travel nurse, are you just traveling to different hospitals, or do you actually travel to like homes and stuff like
I just travel to hospitals, but it's
that?
all UPMC facilities. So it can go out towards Harrisburg, up towards New York. We don't go south too bad,
Yeah.
but that's pretty much where I go. It can be up to 4 hours away from home.
What's the, maybe this is a dumb question. What's the purpose of that? Isn't that hard on you to not have like a set kind of routine and schedule and working with the same people?
Yeah, the point of it is because we're in a nurse shortage.
Oh.
So, they use us to fill in spots that
Yeah.
they're lacking elsewhere. They have a lot in Pittsburgh, so I am home a lot. It is hard because I'm away from home, but a lot of times when I go away, they'll let me work 3 days in a row,
Yeah.
and then I come home for the other four.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's not bad. But they compensate you for
Yeah.
that. So that's the upside to that. But the downside is being away from home and your family and
Yeah.
your husband having to pull the slack, basically.
Yeah. So, and you were you've been a nurse for a while, right?
8 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were doing all of it during the 2020,
Yeah.
2019, 2020, 2020,
I was a
all.
normal nurse then, like a regular
Yeah.
bedside nurse. Yeah, it was a lot, but
Wow. Yeah.
it almost became normal. So it didn't feel like when I get a COVID patient now, it's just normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put your stuff on, you go in, you're fine.
It's crazy to even think back to what some of those days were like. So we had a video that we did. Actually, I think you were in it, where we were shut down in December of 2020 again. So that was the second time we were shut down,
Yeah.
and we made this like traumatic video about like you can make us lock our doors, but we'll never shut down.
Because we worked out outside.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and then everyone was outside working out,
In the snow.
and the snow, yeah. And we had a guy come, my buddy Danny came and filmed it, and he created this amazing video, and we put it out there. And it kind of went viral. Like there was over like 20 some thousand views on it
Really?
within
I
a
didn't even
week.
know that.
Yeah, and all these people were they're like, it's so awesome. Yes, go you guys. Like when this is all over, we're gonna come to the gym. And they never came, but it got a lot of attention. But I watched that video the other day because I was thinking it'd be cool to throw that back out there. It's just like this, you know, for the people that were here during it would be fun to watch again. And then for the new members, like that might not have ever even known that like those days existed, I was like, we'll throw that video back out and let them check it out. But we were like, I mean, it was freezing. I
It
remember,
was
sh
freezing.
I remember shoveling the parking lot. Jared Withrow and I were literally taking rowers out there, air runners, setting up all the equipment. But the video, everyone is wearing masks and we're like outside. And
Oh, I couldn't even remember.
yeah, like we have masks on and no one's even near each other, right? Like it was pretty spread out and we're just working out. And not, I don't know if that is good or bad, or like I have no opinion on whether or not, but it's just crazy to think of like that was right when all this was going on. No one had any idea of what it was really all about, what we were supposed to be doing, what we weren't supposed to be doing. I remember literally just like, I didn't want anyone to get sick. I didn't want members to get sick. I didn't want coaches to get sick. I didn't want to get in trouble. And I didn't want to piss anyone off. So I'm just like, well, like we'll just do the mask. And we're outside in freezing cold weather wearing these masks. I still to this day don't know if that was needed or not. But it's just crazy to go back and remember like what those days were like.
Oh
It
yeah.
was
And working
nuts.
out in the mask was hard.
It was really hard.
Yeah. I'd be like, I can't breathe.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that bad. We
Yeah.
made it work, me and
Yeah.
my dad.
Yeah. You guys,
My gym partner.
you did awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. So your whole family basically is members here,
Yes,
right?
they
So
are.
we have all of you guys, your mom, your dad, Abby, right? Your
And now my
sister Abby,
husband.
and now your husband's coming. And
My
then his name is
sister.
Travis, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And my sister April occasionally comes
And
too.
April, yeah. And April was with us for a while and that, and then she had to pop out, but she's popping back in here
Yep.
and there. So we got the whole family. You guys are awesome. You're in like my top 1% of people I love so much. Because
Thank you.
you've been here so long. Like the I shouldn't say this publicly. 99% of our members are amazing. It's like you get three people that literally drag you through the depths of hell. And you like end up focusing all of your time on them.
Yep.
They're the squeaky wheel. They always get all the attention, and it just like drives me crazy. But then you guys show up. You're this fun family. Like even you were just saying before we started this that like we changed some of the workouts on you guys. You didn't like that format, but like I never heard a peep about it until you
Nope.
just talked to me about it right now. And it's because I was like asking, for feedback. And you guys just show up. You have fun. You work hard. And you're just happy. Like, you're
Yeah,
just happy about everything,
we do
right?
what we gotta do and we leave.
Yeah, just do your thing. And then you get out of here. And it's like, man, I love when people are like that. And you guys like working out together. You just see the benefits of working out. It
Like
doesn't matter
my
what we throw at you guys. You
no.
do it. You don't care. You're just like, whatever.
Yeah, my mom would not come by herself. I know that for a fact. She said it.
Yeah.
So it just makes it better that we all come together.
For sure,
You know, I don't have to come to the 4:30 class, but I always come to the 4:30 class for my dad and my mom,
yeah.
because I could come any day to any time today,
Yeah.
but I didn't because I come to the 4:30 with my mom and dad, and it makes my life a little harder because I have to go pick my kids right after and
Right.
all these things. But honestly, like, or I have to bring him with me, and he's good here, so it doesn't matter. But it does make it so much better to like come with someone else. So I think that's always motivating too, is like, oh, my dad's going, so I have to go today, even if I don't feel like it.
Yeah,
So.
100%. I mean, yeah, there's a definite benefit to it, right? Because you're reworking the schedule and you're not like necessarily always doing the times that are best for you, but it's got to be awesome to be able to work out with your whole family. I think like the couples that work out together and then like the parenting child relationships that work out together or the whole family like you guys, I always see that happening and I'm like, that's so cool.
Yeah,
Like
I want to put that into my kids too. Like when they come, I'm always like, here, you can punch this punching bag with me,
Right.
you know? And he loves that. So I like to get him moving and grooving too. So he's got it as like a lifestyle choice versus
Yeah.
like a option.
Right. They pick it up too. Like it's weird how much we wire into them at this age. They're literally like these sponges, and it's what they see is what they know. And I've just seen with some of the superhero classes we run with the little kids,
Yeah.
and then that's kind of like 8 and under. And then like 8 to 12s like an age range, and then 12 and up. All of those different levels, like when we bring them in and we show them exercises and we start having them do it, especially when they're seeing their parents do it, I mean, they love it. And I'm thinking like, what the hell is wrong with these kids? Like, because when I was that age, I didn't even like know what exercise was. Like I never was, and it's nothing against my parents, but I was never exposed to like
No, me,
fitness
I
and working
mean,
out and that
my
kind of
parents
stuff.
do it now, but they
Yeah,
didn't before. So,
right.
I was a swimmer my whole life, and I did not learn that from my parents.
Yeah.
You know, I got my work ethic through, you know, being at a swimming pool 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. So,
Yeah.
but my kids will just drop and give me 10 push-ups
Yeah,
just out
that's
of
awesome.
nowhere, like
Yeah.
because they want to show mommy their push-ups and their
Yeah.
muscles. So it's funny that they do that now because it's like, you know, it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I've taught my kids, like, you know, working out's fun and working out's cool.
Yeah.
And my son wants a six-pack. And like, I'm like, okay, sure, we'll get to that eventually.
That's so cool. So Ella, I always feel bad having her Friday night into Saturday because I'm coaching the Saturday morning classes. And I'm like, she works so hard all week. I don't want to wake her up. But I was like, you know what? Screw it. Just start exposing her to that. And she's been around the gym a lot and around like what I do a lot. But there was one weekend that stands out. It was a couple weeks back. I was like, well, I'm just going to have her come with me, help me coach, like work around the gym. She can walk around. She can help. She'll do the demo. And she did. So I like showed her some of the exercises. She knows a lot of them, but I showed her like, hey, for this one, do this, do this. And then after everyone broke out and started working out, like she just picked someone. She picked Eli.
Oh,
Eli's very famous. Eli's our
I would pick
dancer.
Eli too.
Yeah, so she goes with Eli, and he's our dancing maniac here at Sweat Bar. Like if you come into a class with Eli, you will know him right away
Yes, you
because he'll be
will.
dancing the whole time, and he's awesome. But it's funny how we talk about all these people, and it's like they're like pillars in my mind.
Yeah.
It's funny, like
You know, we work together.
you and Eli?
I'm actually going to be on his unit this. I was going to tell him when
Really?
I see him later today. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, he literally, I showed up to his work and he literally was like, "Hey, this is my friend. Be nice to her."
Yeah.
So, and then everyone liked me from then on and I'm like,
Really?
"Thank you." Yeah, they like
Oh,
him a
that's so
lot.
cool.
So, that was cool. Sorry, I
No, that's good.
interrupted.
It's a good strategy to talk about people because then we go tell them like, hey, we talked about you on the show, even if it's like 1 second. And then they come and they start listening because they're like, I want to hear. But no, Eli's awesome. Ella picked him, and I'm like, Ella, you working out? She's like, yeah, I want to do it. So she starts doing it. She's going really hard, and she's having a lot of fun. I'm just thinking like, man, like I would never do that. I just wouldn't do it. Like I'd be in the back room because I tell her like, you can come back here. I'll put on Netflix or whatever, and I give her the options, and she's like, no, I'm gonna stay. And then during the workout, I was like, hey, like, why don't you calm down a little bit? You got a lot of cheer going on today. You're gonna be tired. And she's like, I can't leave my partner, Dad. She's like, Eli's like, man, she's a beast, man. And like, they're both going so hard. And then I see her over here doing burpees. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But it is really cool what the kids pick up, And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, you mentioned swimming. The next question I had for you is like, did you play sports? So we'll get to that in a minute. But one of the big reasons I wanted to have you on the show is because I see a lot. The one thing that really bothers me, it's bothered me my whole life, is the parents that like do as I say, not as I do, and they basically are living the life of regret that they have, vicariously through their kids. So they don't want their kid to make any of the same mistakes. That's what they'll say. And they want their kid to be great at this or great at that, but they stop setting the example. And I always like, because I have parents all the time will come and say like, my kid, I want them to be this, I want them to be that. And I'm like, just thinking in my mind, I'm like, well, what are you doing? Like, what goal are you chasing? What are you working towards? Because that is going to be the most influential thing that you can do for your kid. And so when I see like you in here and on the journey you've been on and the impact that that's having now, like we just talked about with your kids, I think that's amazing. Like to me, that's the way to do it, right?
Yeah.
So you talked about swimming. Is that the only sport you did in high school? How long have you been swimming?
I swim since I've been five. Yeah, so I.
Why? Like is that, and I didn't mean it like
It's
that.
okay.
So some kids like, they just really love certain things when they're young. Like my daughter loves cheerleading. That's all she wants to do. It was it
Right.
was it that, or was it like this? Do you have swimmers in your family that kind of
No,
put
no
you into it?
swimmers. This is me. So basically, my grandma, which is
Okay.
my sit-to, I don't know. You've met her. She comes sometimes and sits in here.
I always go out and give her fist
Yeah,
bumps.
she's the cutest thing. She's literally 93.
And she sits here and watches our workouts. It's
Yes, she
awesome.
does. Because she does. She likes to come with us. She won't be able to do anything or whatever, but she likes to just come places. She hates sitting at home. She's not a homebody, which made me not a homebody. So she would take me to these classes at Carnegie, Carlington High School, and I met like awesome people there and honestly became two of my best friends, which Courtney is one of them, and she still comes here sometimes.
That's awesome.
And so I met them and like we just hit it off, so I started just taking classes there, and then I started swimming there, and then I swam there all the way up till high school, and we were like competitively swimming. So I swam 5 days a week, 2 hours a day since I was six. So yeah, it was a lot. Like, so I swam pretty significantly. And then I swam in high school, and then I swam in college for 2 years. And then I went up to Maine campus, which Penn State Maine, and like they're awesome, like Olympian almost.
Yeah.
So I wasn't good enough to go there, but like I
Yeah.
was good enough to be like one of the top swimmers at Penn State Altoona, you know, and they were
Yeah.
D2 or something. But it wasn't that serious. But and then I ran cross country for 2 years, and then I did track. I actually threw shot put, and I
Oh,
ran
wow.
the mile.
What was your time on the mile?
Oh, it was slow. They just put me in there to get my third
Yeah.
thing, but it was probably like, oh my God, it was slow. Probably like 8 minutes, 8:30.
That's good.
No, it's not good. Not compared to some of these
Wait, so
crazy people.
you did the one, the mile, the shot put, and then what else did you do?
I would throw the discus,
Oh, okay, yeah.
but I was the best at the shot put
Yeah.
because I was strong from swimming, so I could throw it the furthest. And
Yeah.
then they were like, "Okay, that's what you do." So I'm like, "Okay." I always wanted to be busy, so I picked something that I could be busy at. Like cross country, I wasn't good. I just did it because it was something to keep me in shape for swim season.
Yeah. What the distance for cross country is usually like a 5K, right?
Yeah, it's
Is that typically
3.1.
what you
Yeah.
yeah. So with the swimming, I think I listen to the Rich Roll podcast a lot. Are you familiar with him by any chance? So it's a really famous pod. He's like up there with like the Joe Rogans of the world. But he was a Ivy League swimmer, Stanford, I think. And basically, when he goes into like telling his story, he talks about like what that life of swimming was like for a long time, all the way up to almost like the Olympic level. And then his story is he was a corporate lawyer. He kind of was pushing the swimming and, just this life of like really hard work and discipline. And he was this lawyer and just really fell apart in life, became an alcoholic, was really struggling for a long time. And then somewhere in his mid-30s, it's funny because this story resembles a lot of my own story,
Okay.
but like mid-30s, he just decides he's gonna just get sober and clean up his life. And he ends up becoming like an ultra athlete, a really high profile ultra athlete. And he wrote a book called Becoming Ultra. And he has this podcast, and he has a lot of very high profile athletes that'll be on. It's wide ranging, but a lot of high profile athletes, a lot of swimmers. When they talk about swimming, it is really woke. It's woke me up to, is that the right way to say that? It's awakened me. I don't know.
I thought it sounded good. I'm
Like
not an English teacher. You're good.
it brightened my horizons on how hard swimming is.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of time. Like Monday through
And
Friday,
you said
two
2 hours,
hours, and
yeah.
then we would spend the whole day Saturday and Sunday at swim meets. Almost
And I would have
every other
never guessed
weekend.
that. Like, so I didn't swim in high school. I knew I had friends of mine that swam, but I never like went to their meets, and I didn't really talk to
Yeah.
them about it.
Because
So I had
swimming
no
isn't
idea.
cool.
Yeah, I had no idea
It's
what.
just not.
But it's funny because now I think it's really cool,
Yeah.
and now there's me at like 39. How old was I? So like whenever I was training for the Ironman, I'm like this 39-year-old guy in a pool for the first time, which long story short there, I did the master's program over in Moon.
Yeah.
So it's like 5:30 in the morning for an hour and a half every Tuesday and Thursday. And she would set me up on the end of the pool with my little board and my workout, and then the person next to me was the beginner. And then the person next to them was like the novice, and then all the rest of the swimmers were all like the expert swimmers,
Yeah, they're
right?
good too.
So I have a workout that's not even like a beginner's workout, and
Yeah.
literally I'm the guy like on the side of the pool that's drowning the whole time. I was struggling. I struggled so much. That's a story for another day. But that also made me like really realize not only is it very difficult, especially when you're swimming for that length of time, mentally and physically, it's hard to be like just going back and forth for 2 hours.
You just get used to it. It's like it's not even a thing anymore.
I don't think I'd get used to it.
You would. I mean, if you did it since you were five, it was just like a part of my day, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
But I loved
With all the
it.
drills, I didn't realize there were so many drills. Like, I'm like, how
Drills
many
and
drills could you possibly do? And
different
literally,
strokes.
yeah.
You know, like it was. It, you would sprint, you would go long, you would, you know, whatever they felt like doing to you that day. But I got used to it and I loved it. I just started to love it. And then All of the people I've determined that all of your swimming friends are weird and crazy, just like you. So it was perfect. And honestly, I'm like, to this day, I'm still friends with probably 10 people I swam with through high school, through college, maybe even more than 10. But you just kind of stick together. It's like a bond. You spent more time with those people than you did your family. So it just was an awesome sport. And like my son's actually doing, he's actually really good. Like he's 5 and he can make it across a pool.
Oh,
And
really?
yeah, so I might try to get him into swimming, not as intense as I was. Like I literally like that was my life. But if he wants to do it, he can. If he doesn't, he doesn't have to. But it's good exercise and I make him go, once a week so far, and he loves it. So we'll see what we can do with that. But
Well, it's definitely a good skill to have. So
oh,
even if you're
100%.
learning young, it's really good to be able to be like a confident swimmer and know how to do it right. I don't, it's funny you say that about how you had like your friends were, because I could see that happening outside of the pool and having close bonds, but it really is a sport of like isolation. I mean, when you're
Oh, yeah.
swimming for 2 hours, you're not talking to anyone.
No.
You're literally just up and down. And there's not too many sports like that. Like you're usually having interaction. Even running, like you're having interaction with the people that you're running with here and there. So it's, I don't. And she was the coach. I love her, but she was always, she'd be like yelling at me.
My God. I never had anyone yell at me.
She's like, "Chad, are you swimming uphill?" I don't understand what that means. How do you swim uphill? She's like, "Your feet are 4 feet underwater. You're literally trying to swim out of the
Oh my
pool."
God.
And I'm like, "I don't." And she's like, "Raise your feet." So like, it's funny how little adjustments can make you a much better
Oh
swimmer.
yeah.
Like, so I would just raise my feet up to the water, and next thing you know, I'm like kind of on top of the water and I'm not swimming up anymore. But yeah, I always thought I was a good swimmer until I got into these kind of programs and realized
Yeah,
that I'm not.
it's not that you're not a good swimmer. It's just not a good like competitive swimmer, I guess, like at the time, like it's there's a difference. You can swim across the pool, you're a good swimmer. You're not drowning, right? Or you can tread water for a couple minutes. You're a good swimmer. If there's a difference between good and like almost like expert level, because everyone there's a huge difference, right? Like I would never say like to my friend who's treading water next to me, "You're terrible at swimming." But no, she's good. She's doing
We're
okay.
good.
Yeah, like but
You're still up
if I
here.
swam across the pool, I'd kick your butt, but that's the difference,
Have you ever thought about doing like triathlon? I always like
I
asking
can't
swimmers
bike.
this. So
I can't bike,
any
man.
other
See?
person I talk to about triathlon, it's always swim. Like, I can't swim. I can't swim. I don't want to go out in open water.
Mm-mm.
And then I talk to a swimmer
I can't
and you
bike.
can't
I don't like
bike.
to bike. Is there a one where you can like I can swim, you can run, they can bike? I'll do that. Cuz I'll kick butt in the swimming. The bike, oh my God, no. I can't even it has to be a stationary bike. I literally don't even ride a bike on the road.
So we're actually Sweat Bar. I'm working with the Allegheny County right now to let us be the first ones to launch a splash and dash. So a swim into a run. But it's gonna be fun because we're gonna do the swim at the wave pool, so back and
They
forth
used
from
to do
the.
that for kids.
Did they really?
Yeah, they used to do the swim and the run, but I never did
Yeah, we're gonna do it.
it.
We're gonna do it for adults and kids, maybe. Like, we'll have, I don't know what age group we're gonna allow. I'm still working through all the approvals with them, but we have it pretty well mapped out right now, and it looks like it's gonna happen in June of next year. But
I would do that in a heartbeat.
yeah, so it's gonna be a 500-yard swim, which isn't too bad.
No.
You'll probably do that in like 10 minutes. I'll do it in 35. And
You know, my
then,
time for a 500 used to be 5:45.
what? So that it's funny because we're like, I'm trying because we can only run 11 swimmers at a time. So we have to wave them, right? Like we're going to put 11 in and then 11 come out. But to figure out how long the entire event's going to take, because the wave pool opens at like 11 o'clock on Sunday. We're starting at like 6:30 in the morning. But I have to be able to figure out based on how many people we have signed up for the event, how long it's going to take us to get all of the people in and out of the water. So I'm estimating that on average, like 25 minutes would be kind of the cap. So all 11 people basically will be out of the water and a new wave will start every 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think that's aggressive for some people.
Yeah. I mean,
And I think
normal
it's
people.
conservative, but a 5 minute, 500 yards.
5:45, yeah.
So just to put this into perspective for people, if you're familiar with the wave pool, anyone listening to this, it's like in this area will be familiar. But it's 50 yards, right?
Right,
I
50
think it's
yards.
50 yards across. So you're going down and back.
10 times.
Yeah. Well, down and
Well,
back
five
five times,
times.
yeah. But you're doing like down one, back two. So you're doing that 10 times, right? And you do that in 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, that's yards, so I or that's meters. So I used to do it in yards, which
Okay.
was 25 yards. So I
Yeah.
would get more flip turns. So I probably can do the meter one back in the day. Don't get me wrong. Now, am I going to do it in 5:45 now? Absolutely not. But I probably back in the day could have done the meter one in like 6:45, 6:30, 6:45.
That's insane. That's
I was
literally
fast. That was
insane.
my event.
Holy shit. So we're gonna do that. And then we're gonna do a trail run through Settlers Cabin Park. So you're gonna go in and out of the woods.
Okay.
So there's no bike. So you're in.
I'm in. I can't
Yes.
bike.
Yeah. And I wanna see, like, this is gonna be fun. Well, the cool thing is,
I'm
so
gonna have to swim now because now you're gonna think I'm gonna be like this amazing person. I'm gonna take 20 minutes.
you're gonna be like in the pool every day now.
Literally, I'm gonna train.
Well, so the I talked about the master's program. So Emily, I remember Emily from here, Emily Rash, she was a really good swimmer and she's gotten back into it. So she's competing now at like the master's level
No,
across.
but you have to get up at 5:30. You know how
I
I'm not a
know, it's
morning
really
person.
early. Yeah.
If I could do it in the middle of the day, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But like because I have to get up at 5:30, I don't think I can do it.
It's hard. It's hard that early in the morning to be
Yeah.
in a pool, and then especially when I'm like drowning. And she's like, "Does that board say lifesaver on it?"
Wow,
I'm
she's
like,
rough.
looking at it. I'm like, I don't know what she's asking me. And she's like,
She
"It's not.
probably
It's."
coached like back in the day
She's
too.
really, really good. She's a phenomenal coach. I like her. She's joking with me half the time, but like serious and joking,
Yeah.
the kind of the way like we mess with people here. But I'm like, I couldn't figure out what she was. And she's like, "It's not there to save your life. You act like it's saving your life." She's like, "It's there for technique. Don't lay on it." And then meanwhile, you have all like the expert swimmers are just like listening to her yelling me about a kickboard. Anyway,
They're
Emily,
killing it and passing you 12
yeah,
times.
and it's she's like, "Look, do you see how high that wave's going as he kicks his feet? That's how you kick your feet." And I'm like, meanwhile, this guy's like a pro swimmer, you know.
I
It's
know, and
actually one of
sometimes
our
they're like older and they're like kicking your butt.
it's unreal. It's literally unreal. I could talk about it all day because when I had Lainey on the show, we talked a little bit about this. She My buddy told me when I was doing triathlon, he said, when you swim for the first time in open water, you're gonna panic. You're gonna freak out and you're gonna wanna like get out of the water.
Yeah.
It's just a natural reaction, especially if you've never swam in open water, because you have people climbing over top of you and pulling you under and
Oh
blah 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 blah
no.
blah. And so I told Lainey that that was gonna happen. I'm like, you're gonna freak out. And she was like, the next day or whatever, she's like, "I'm so glad you told me that was gonna happen, because I literally just had to stop, take a minute, and then just keep going, because you just like freak out." But in like the Ironman, I mean, these guys are like,
Like it's their
they're
life, like they want to
flying,
win,
like
yeah.
flying. They're so far ahead, so fast, and it's just like, I literally look like I'm drowning for 2 miles, and they're just like right through the water, you know.
I'm convinced that like most of those people, you know, were swimmers and they just like
A lot of them
learned how to
are.
bike and run, you know? Because I feel like running and biking is more like it's more learnable. Is
Yeah.
that a word? Because you are on your feet all day and you know how to work your feet and you know, like stuff like that. And then like swimming is kind of like a technique that you like learn over time and it just takes people longer to learn that technique.
Yeah. That's
And
why I always
but I
ask
can't say that
swimmers.
because I can't bike, so
Yeah.
that would take me a while.
Well, that's why I was asking you, because swimmers, like, I feel like have an advantage in that a lot of people don't do the triathlons because they worry about not being able to swim. But ironically, swimming is actually the least amount of, so if you look at all the distances,
I know it's short.
it's the shortest, right?
Yeah.
So you can actually get away with not being a good swimmer and still be pretty competitive in
Oh, okay.
like the better events. But if you are a good swimmer, that's a huge advantage, you
Right.
know, because you can kind of pick the other two up. But like if you have the skill and the technique in swimming, you're flying through the water. I just mean like to be able to, for me to be able to do it, like I don't have to train as much in the water because I can kind of like figure out how to get, you know, float through 2 miles basically. But biking 112 and running a marathon at the end, like
Oh, heck no.
that's like,
That's long, though. I'm thinking
yeah,
like a smaller
the
triathlon, I
smallers,
think.
yeah. The those aren't bad, but to me, it's actually almost as bad because you don't want to be so like when I swim the longer distances, I just swim at a pace, and
Yeah.
it's like it's not as bad, right? But when you're in a sprint and you're swimming really fast, that's almost harder for me than just swimming at like a nice pace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we're gonna get you in the splash and dash next year.
Yeah, I'll do it.
You're in.
I can run. How long do I have to run? You know I don't run very
And
long.
so it's the it, we're calling it a 5 and 5, so it's a 500-yard dash,
5K.
or sorry, 500-yard swim, and then a 5K run.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, it's gonna be a blast. We're gonna get the. That's what I started saying. So Emily was here. She told me that the president of the Masters Club, she told him we were gonna do this, and he's been wanting to do this for a long time. Just keeps falling off the priority list. So he reached out and he was like, "Hey, if you're gonna do this, can we just partner with you?" And you know, we have all the swim stuff, the lanes. We're out the wave pool all the time swimming. So I'm like, "Oh my God, like that's amazing," you know. So
Yeah, that would be great.
we're gonna be the fundraiser for them to help support them, and then they're just gonna help us and probably bring a lot of swimmers, because we have people that run, but we don't have a lot of people that swim.
True.
They have probably a lot of people that, well, they definitely have people that swim. I don't know if they run too much, but yeah, it'll be a fun event. But I'm gonna get you, we gotta get you into triathlon. We gotta get you biking.
No, I can't bike. I don't bike. I really don't. Like it honestly like flusters me because I go on a bike and I just like tip over.
Really?
Yes, I'm not a good bike. I'm not kidding.
Like
It's bad.
you literally
It's
can't bike.
bad. Like I'll go down a street. That's it. Like my kids don't know how to bike because I literally don't know how to bike.
Oh
Like they
man.
have bikes and they don't bike because I just don't. I don't do it. I've never
So back to this,
biked.
kids pick up everything we do or don't do. Kids are
My
never
kids
gonna
will
ride a
never ride a
bike.
bike. My husband likes to ride, so he'll eventually teach him, but
They'll ride with them.
yeah, but I'm like, no.
Oh man, this is like a mission for me now. I'm gonna
I
like
can't bike. If you get me in a little triathlon where I have to bike like a mile, maybe.
I'm gonna
You'd swim like 1 yard, like if you only biked a
I'm gonna put a goal on the goal board for you of like
Bike.
ride a bike a mile.
Oh my
I
gosh.
just want to see what people think about that
It
as a goal.
hurts too, your butt. I don't like biking at all. It is just, I don't know how people bike.
I used to love I did BMX when I was a kid. I loved like riding like BMX and doing jumps and stuff like
Yeah.
that. I do not like cycling. I know a lot of people that really like cycling. Like they'll go out 30, 40, 50-mile rides. I'll do them like for training and stuff, but I hate them. I literally hate them.
They're boring.
They're really boring.
I
But
don't
this
know.
is coming from someone that swims underwater for 2 hours straight and
Yeah.
doesn't talk to
I told
anyone.
you, I'm just used
You just
to
wire that way.
it. Yeah.
All right, so let's fill the gap in now between the sports in high school. In college,
Yeah, I swam
you
in
ended
for
up
2 years.
swimming in college, and then to the point where, like, were you actively like doing a lot of exercising and fitness routines all the way up to sweat bar? Like, what
No.
is the? Because most people kind of fall off with the kid phase and that kind of stuff.
So I basically stopped working out. So I had 2 different times. So like I stopped working out after my sophomore year of college. I didn't stop working out, but I like stopped doing my 2 hours a day, all that crazy stuff. And I gained a whole bunch of weight in college. When I came home from college, I lost a lot of weight.
Okay, this was the T25 days
These were the T25
with
days, yes.
Sean T.
With Sean T, he was my man. So I literally like Sean T obsessed went to, and I literally worked out like 4 times a week to this T25. And I worked as an EMS. I was always on my feet, all those things. So
Not to interrupt you, but it sounded like I was making fun of Sean T. I will say, so I did T25 a little bit. I did the insanity program. The warm-up of the insanity program, literally, if people did that warm-up 3 days a week, they would be significantly further along on a fitness journey. It is really, really good. That just the warm-up, it's only 10 minutes.
It's hard.
It's really hard.
And I like the T25 because it was only 25 minutes. It, like, you busted it
he
out real
condensed it
fast.
down, and he was like boom, 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 boom,
Yeah, you
boom,
didn't
like
have
it's
any breaks.
fast.
You just went.
Yeah,
And I like
I do
that.
remember doing that now. But there, I meant to interrupt because, like, those can actually be really good programs. Those are super effective high intensity training.
Well, I lost a lot of weight. So, like, I went from, like, I think I came home at like 230, 230 pounds. I mean, I lost weight very fast because I stopped drinking every day, you
Yeah,
know,
that
things like
helps.
that. Yeah, definitely. And then I did the T25 and I got down to about 175, I
Okay,
think,
so it's
which,
like 50 pounds.
yeah, 50 pounds. But, like, honestly, I think a lot of that weight was like just like really just water, because I probably lost 15 pounds in 2 weeks, you know.
It's like an inflammation flush that
Right.
you
Like, as
go.
soon as I stopped drinking and doing stupid stuff, you know, like, I lost like 20 pounds like immediately. And then I just got back to like my normal body weight, which was like the 175 was like basically normal for me. And then after I got married, I started having kids. And then from then on, I just put on the weight. So, like, as soon as I got pregnant, so I got married, as soon as I got pregnant, which was a month
How old are you
later,
now?
I'm 32 and I
No,
was
so how
20.
old were you then?
So I was 25 or 26 when I got married. So my first child, I was 26. I was 25 when I got married, 26 when I had my first baby. And
26
so
and a half when you had your second baby.
literally 20, I was actually 28.
I know it's,
I don't. Yeah, 26 and 28, I think,
there you go.
approximately. And then so yeah, so that I basically I gained a lot of weight from the first baby, and then I didn't give myself a chance to like recover, and I just had a second baby, you know. So I went from 175 to almost, when I had my second baby, I was 275. So, 275 when I was pregnant with my second baby. Had the baby, I ended up being around 255, 250, 255. So that's probably where I was at, at the end of the second pregnancy. And everyone's like, "Oh yeah, the breastfeeding takes off the pounds." It did not take off a single pound for me. I was stressed constantly, you know, and I was working through COVID. So that, all of that within the first 6 months. And then I saw these pictures of me. We were on a family vacation and we took these professional pictures. And I wish I would have it for you, but I saw this picture of me and I was like, wow. I was like, I like literally didn't think I looked any different. Right. And then I saw these pictures that is like straight on, side view, you know, profile, whatever. And I was like, my face looks chunky, you know, or like my arm looks big. And I'm like, oh my God, I think I'm like kind of big, like compared to what I had been. Now I'm not, you know, I was always confident my whole life. Right. And then I saw those pictures and I'm like, wow, I kind of like let myself go. Right. And like, and that's when I joined Sweat Bar. As soon as those pictures happened, I'm not kidding. I took those pictures in June. I joined Sweat Bar in July.
Okay, so what, you were 28 when you had your second,
Yeah, so
and so where are we at now? You're like
28. I
20.
was still
Oh,
28.
you're 28. Yeah, so you've
I've
been
been
with
here
us.
3.5 years.
I was gonna say for, and we've only been open for, I mean, January of 2020, so you were right off the bat,
Yeah,
pretty
like I was like
close.
6 months after you guys opened.
So I'm trying to go back in.
Sorry, I told you the whole story.
No, it's good. What, how did you even hear about us? Like,
I
where did
drove down
you?
the street.
Okay, and then you just saw it.
Remember, I kept giving you crap about your sign and how I thought it was a sauna bar? And now
I was
it
trying
says Sweat
to,
Bar Fitness on
that's what
it.
I was trying to remember if you came with, if like someone was first and then they brought you.
No, it was
So
me,
yeah,
and
it
I
was you,
brought the
and then you
rest of my
brought the rest of the
family.
family.
So I looked you up online. So I saw Sweat Bar and I'm like, what's that? Like, is it a sauna bar? What is it? And it's really close to my house. So I looked it up and I saw that it was a fitness thing. And I was like, let me give it a try. And 3.5 years later, I'm still here.
I know, and we love you so much. But so this is, This is where I really want to dive into because what you just said about the pitchers, one, I think I'm starting to try to do this now with people where when they come in and we do our goal planning, so it's a little different now than when you join, but usually when people are coming in now, not usually, what we do is we scan them right away, even if they don't really want to see it or talk about it, just so we have it on file, right? So we can like say, this is where you were at when you started. If they look at it 3 years, like that would have been awesome if we would have did with you, right? So you would have seen all that data. Even though you don't need that, but one of the other things we do is we're goal planning them, and I try to like bring up now is take pictures of yourself because it can be so helpful, you know, especially it goes both ways. So like you got to the point where you're seeing pictures and they were like waking you up to like, oh my gosh,
I need to make a
I
lifestyle
need to make a
change.
change, right? But it actually happens the other way where people will start getting like results and not see it for some reason.
No,
Like,
I was, you know, and oh, I don't feel like any skinnier, or like, you know, that's a terrible way to think, right? Because you're supposed to be feeling, you know, like I'm getting stronger and I'm, you know,
But I
but the
think
first thing you want
everyone
to
can
see
empathize with
is,
that.
you know, the first thing you want to see is fat loss, which is skinnier, right? Like, and I did take before pictures. So I was happy that I did that. So sometimes I'd be like, oh my God, I'm not making any
And then
progress.
you look at those
And
and
then
you're
I
like,
look at those and I'm like, holy crap, I lost like half of a body, right? So, and I did that to my husband. I made him take before pictures. So they're on my phone.
It's good. I mean, it's one of the things I really encourage, because it just helps so much. I have people that'll come and start talking to me about, a lot of people use the scale as a measure of progress, and that's not always a good measure of progress, but they'll, you know, their mind is set on one thing, right? So over a course of time, I've seen them increase like their ability to do planks, they're doing squats, they're doing them properly, they're lifting heavy weight, they're doing push-ups now, they're doing pull-ups, and they'll come to me and like have this convincing mindset that they're not changing at all. And I'm like, one, you look like a different person. Two, like, look how much stronger you are. Look at the things that you're doing. Look at the discipline you put in your life. You're coming every day like you. And it drives me kind of, which is literally like why I wanted to have you on the show to talk through this whole journey, because I think it can really help people to kind of like not always necessarily just be focusing on, you know, like one thing, like it's the whole thing, right? Like when you get into the point where you're consistently coming. So for 3.5 years, you've been consistently coming. It wasn't like a, I'm gonna do a 6 month change, lose all this weight, and like go back to where I was. It was like, listen, I'm gonna change my life and I'm gonna start showing up to this gym. And you've been doing that consistently for 3.5 years, and your results are like phenomenal. You showed me the before and after pictures, and I'm like, holy shit, I haven't even like published them yet.
I know.
Because I wanted to,
Well, I
like,
lost 10 pounds since those pictures.
gotta give me new pictures. We gotta get some new pictures out.
I
And it's just incredible. And a lot of people say, like, you shouldn't just think about weight loss. Like, that's a, for people that want to lose weight, that's a big part of it,
Well, of
right?
course.
Like, you
And I
want to
try
see
not
that
to
get
weigh
done.
myself all the time because it does like it is discouraging because 1 week you'll be, you know, 190, right? And the next week you'll be 196 and you feel like you're like going the opposite direction, but just because that's not always the case. Like, especially with women, like when you're through your cycle in the month, like your body will retain water. And then the next week you'll be like 10 pounds skinnier. I swear to God, or lighter. And I try not to like look at the scale too much. I give myself like a 5 to 7 pound like graciousness, you know, like as long as I'm in between like these numbers, I'm happy, you know. And if I step on the scale and I'm this weight, I'm happy. And if I step on the scale and I'm 7 pounds lighter than that, I'm also happy, you know. But
That's a great way to think about it, because what a lot of people don't realize too, especially with our type of program, we're doing a lot of resistance-based training. So our goal is to actually build skeletal muscle mass, which is going to increase metabolism. It's going to let you burn more calories. It's going to give you long-term vitality and strength and make you feel strong and confident. But muscle, it doesn't weigh more than fat, but it's denser, right? So like a little bit of muscle that looks like that could weigh 5 pounds, but 5 pounds of fat's like this, right? Real big. So if we take 5 pounds of muscle out of your body and put 5 pounds, or 5 pounds of fat out of your body and put 5 pounds of muscle into your body, you're gonna look significantly different, which is a lot of times what's happening. Like I'm seeing people put on muscle, lose body fat, the number on the scale is not necessarily changing because they just like they went up 5 pounds of muscle or went down 5 pounds of body fat. that the number on the scale is not changing, but their body composition is significantly different.
Right.
They look
Yeah.
a lot different, right? But I want to go back to your why, I'll ask you, just because it sounded like the pictures and seeing yourself like look that way and saying like I let myself go was the trigger point for you to start, right? But what I have found in this business now is that what sometimes is people's initial why, it's not actually enough to carry them through. Because what happens is people hit a level of resistance. It's hard to change your lifestyle. It's hard to come to a gym consistently. It's hard to work out. Exercise can be hard at first. You got to build the habit, you got to have the discipline, and you got to keep showing up and push through that, which you did. But there's a psychological thing that's very true in that people will always pick the path of least resistance. So for a lot of people, they'll say they want to lose weight, but then they realize what it takes to lose the weight, and it's actually easier for them to deal with being the way that they are, so staying the same and not losing the weight, than it is to actually start coming to a gym, start changing the eating, start, working. And so if that's the answer, that's great. But like, was there something else that kind of kept pushing you through the last 3.5 years to just continue on that journey and to push through all the shit and the trenches and like when it got really difficult?
And I honestly have to give a lot of credit to my dad.
Yeah.
So,
He's awesome.
yeah,
I love
he
that
is
guy.
like self-motivating, right?
Yeah.
That man is self-motivating, and it helps to have him as your partner, right? So
Yeah.
if you're having a bad week, he's like, I don't care, you're getting to the gym,
Right.
you know? And then like it helped me. And now like, and don't get me wrong, I have a strong mindset, so like when I'm stuck on something, I
Yeah.
gotta go,
I know
right? Like
you
I
do,
gotta
yeah.
do it. But I also like think for other people, it does help to just realize that it's not gonna be a quick process.
Yeah.
Like, and I have had this happen to me so many times in my life where I like think like I'm gonna take this pill and magically lose 50 pounds,
Yeah.
you know, and my mom was like that. And it just doesn't work. I've tried it a million times, it just doesn't work. As soon as you start eating the way you used to eat, you gain it all back and it's
Right.
not worth it, right?
Yeah.
It's just a waste of your money. But that's why I think it motivated me from how many times that I've tried to like do things the quicker way, then it didn't work for me. Then I
Yeah.
was like, you know what? Let's just like start working out. And then I started to love it, right?
Yeah.
So like the pro I think one thing that made me stay or like made me continue to do what I do is because I like actually like coming here,
Yeah.
you know? And I also think that small changes, right? So you don't have to go like 7 times a week and like all this crazy crap, right?
Right.
I was like, I started in the summer, so like I would go for a walk on Monday,
Yep.
you know, an easy 20-minute walk, you
Yeah.
know, and then I'd come to Sweat Barn Tuesday,
Yeah.
and then I would go like, and I would go to work on Wednesday, and there I wouldn't do anything, you know, and things like that. So like now I just add those things to my Sweat Bar workouts, but
Yeah.
before I would just skip Sweat Bar
Right.
and do something easy, right?
Yeah.
And I think that helped me maintain what I'm doing now because I just started easy. I didn't say,
Yeah.
like, I think that's a lot of people's problem
It
is they
is,
start like blasting
yeah.
here 7 days a week
Yep.
and thinking like they're going to be able to maintain that. It's just
Yeah.
not maintainable and you're exhausted. And then you're like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Right. So I think just starting easy, like, you don't have to come here 7 days a week to get the results that
Right.
I got or anyone else got. You
Yeah.
have to start off slow and like, listen to your body. You need a rest day, you take that rest day. You take a rest weekend. I don't
Right.
care.
Yeah.
You know, you need a cookie, eat the damn cookie. You
Right.
know, it's one of those things like if you take everything away that you loved beforehand
Yeah.
and you shove all the stuff you don't actually like in it, it's not maintainable. So that's why I like the way I started was like, okay, I'm gonna go drink a couple beers with my friends on a Friday, but then I'll go to Sweat Bar on Monday
Right.
and I'll take a walk on Sunday and then I'll eat a cookie on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And when you're 250 pounds, you know, just going on a walk is going to make you lose a couple pounds, you know, so especially when you did nothing before that.
Yeah.
So even if you didn't change another thing about you and you literally walked a couple days a week and you still ate the same way you ate, you still lose a couple pounds. So
Yeah.
like that would be your first motivation. Okay, I see a little drop on the scale. Okay, now I'll add one less cookie. okay, now I'm 2 more pounds on the scale. You know, like it's just those little things is such a big deal. Like sometimes I would sit in my bed and eat a whole sleeve of cookies. Like I don't do that anymore. But if I feel like it, I will.
So I didn't know you were gonna say all of that.
Sorry.
No. But I'm so glad you did, and I love it. I think sometimes it kind of seems like I give people a script of things I
No,
want
I
them to say.
really, he didn't script me. That was like I'm like passionate about that.
But it's perfect because I think the biggest thing that people do in one of the biggest mistakes people make is that they start for results versus the biggest win up front is not results. The biggest win up front is changing your habits, right? So if I can get people to like show up to a gym consistently 3, 4 days a week for 3 months, that to me is a huge win. I don't care what happened on the scale. I don't care like if they progressed in squatting or push-ups. If you figured out how to now go from not doing much of anything to showing up to a gym or showing up to any workout or doing, just showing up for yourself and putting in some work and doing that, if you have figured out how to do that over a couple of months to the point where that's sustainable and you're going to be able to consistently stick with that, that is the biggest win that you could ever take away from like any kind of lifestyle change, like joining a fitness program, right? Consistency. And that's why I love your story. And what I really wanted to like drill home with having you on this is that consistency and building the lifestyle to the point where you're just showing up is huge. And what you said was like, it didn't always have to be like I was coming to the gym. Like I would just do this on this day and this on this day. And what happens is, like you said, like I don't eat this sleeve of cookies anymore. I will if I want to, but I don't have that same. It all starts changing as you keep going, right? Things just start becoming different. The things you used to love and like doing that weren't necessarily great things for you, those will just start to get filtered out. It just happens. You know, your lifestyle just gets healthier and healthier and healthier. You start working out a little bit more than you might have started, but that's because you really are enjoying it, right? Like you're just loving it and you love doing it. When I started, I was the same. I would do a couple, like I actually did it the wrong way. I would do like a couple extreme days and then nothing the other days, right? That's not what I do now. Like my thing is I have a non-negotiable that I work out for an hour every single day. But that's I would never recommend someone start there. If anything, I'm starting like just do like a 15-minute walk a couple days a week, you know, even before coming to a gym, like just do that. But I do an hour a day as a non-negotiable, and that hour is very different every day. So some days I'm doing weight training, some days it's like jog, light jog, some days it's hill climb, some days it's just a walk. But for me, it's a non-negotiable. And that's what you kind of alluded to was your dad said, like, listen, I don't care. Like you're going, right? You guys created these non-negotiables with yourself where you didn't give yourself an out. And that is probably one of the most important things that I think people can take away from like you and your journey is that like it just gonna take time, but you have to continue showing up for yourself, right?
I
In
mean,
big
it's
ways.
been 3.5 years and I have not e I'm not at the at my goal, but I honestly, I really have a different goal, I guess. It's just to be healthy, you know, at this point. You know, I'm not in any way, shape, or form like trying to lose weight. If it happens, or, you know, I'm trying to get stronger at the gym, I enjoy coming, you know, do I eat perfect? Absolutely not. I will full on admit to that. But like, I try to get my protein in, or like, you know, things like that, or drink the water, you know, things like that. Those are like the only things that I really focus on and coming to the gym. So.
But I think that so you said your goals changed a little bit. Now you just want to be healthier. I love this conversation because I talk with people about this often. Like for me, what I love is if someone says like, "Hey, let's go on a 10-mile hike." I'm like, "Okay, cool. Let's go." You know, like, but that's not something I would have been able to do 5 years ago. I wouldn't even have thought about that, right? And I brought it up to you, like, hey, you want to do a splash and dash, you know, next summer? And you're like, yeah, I'll do that as long as I don't have to ride a bike. But like, you're ready. Like, you can go do it, right? You know, like Donna and Kim, do you know Donna and Kim by any chance? Because they come earlier. But I mean, gosh, they're like in their 60s and like, it's like, they'll do anything. You know, it's like, hey, Donna, we're running a 6.6 mile trail run through the woods. You want to do that? Yeah, I want to do
That's
that,
what
you
I want to
know?
be like, you
Yeah.
know?
And then Kim's like, I give rower goals to Kim. I'm like, come on, Kim, you got to hit 1,000 meters. And she's like, Chad, you're gonna kill me. But then she does it,
Yeah.
you know. And I'm like, how the hell did she just do that, you know? But because they're just like showing up every day for themselves and working hard, like they can just go do things that they normally wouldn't be doing. I think that's a bigger win. Like you can go out and play with your kids. How
Yeah.
huge is that?
And I think I got my aunt motivated to do some stuff because we went on a hike the other
Oh,
day and she
nice.
was huffing and puffing up
Yeah.
this hill. And she was, so I was like, hey, you want to go on a hike? And she's like, yeah, let's do it. And we went on another one. So, like, it
Cool.
was one of those, like, you
Yeah.
know, just it's something that, like, she's not going to come to the gym.
Right.
I know her,
Yeah.
right? But you find stuff that you like,
Yeah.
you know,
100%. Yeah.
that's what she likes.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I own a gym, and my recommendation to anyone out there that's never like this just feels like they fallen off the beaten track. If you don't feel comfortable going to a gym, don't. Like, just start with like walking. Just show up. Like I always tell people, do the 15-minute mindset every day for 15 minutes. You're just gonna do something for
Yeah.
yourself. Don't walk your dog. Just do your own thing. Listen to a podcast, whatever. But just go. And then, you know, when you want to get to the point where you need coaching and accountability and support and a fun place, and you don't want to design your own workouts, and you want to make sure you're doing them right, then show up to a gym. You
Yeah.
know, but like just get started for you and have a strong why. And create those non-negotiables and then fight through it, you know, fight through that resistance. But I give you a lot of credit because that was a big journey. So what's the total, what are you down now?
So I was 250 when I started.
Okay.
The last time I was on a scale, 192. So it was almost 60 pounds.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I actually was shocked at the 192 because I haven't weighed myself in a while.
But a lot of that too is that like you've built muscle, so you have like you look really good, so you look fit, right? Like it's
Right.
like you're healthy, you're strong, you come out here. I actually have that video or the picture we put on one of our flyers of you squatting. Like you just look strong, you know, you've built a lot of strength and you have all the functional movement, you can do everything perfect, right?
Yeah.
And you kind of are that, I call people the hybrid, because they can do well in the lifting classes, but then they can still do well in the HIIT classes.
Yeah,
Like, you know,
I like a
you do
little bit of
both.
both. Yeah.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I don't get smaller than like 175. Like
Yeah.
my body is just like naturally kind of bigger. So like I'm like almost at my goal.
Yeah.
I was 185 when I got married and I was like thin.
Yeah.
You know, like it was one of those things where it's like everyone's body's different. That's why I said don't look at that weight
Yeah.
because my weight is considered like obese for someone that's like smaller. Like my sister Abby, who's like 5'2" and
Yeah.
or 5 foot and a size 2, if she was 175, she wouldn't look so healthy,
Yeah.
right? But like for me, that's healthy,
Right.
you know. So that's why I said don't look at that scale or like know what your body
Yeah.
is like because, you know, if I was like 120, I would look really sick.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
it's just one of those things like you just can't look always at the scale. Like my mom, I know this is like kind of going off track, sorry,
No, it's okay.
but I just wanted to share this with you.
Yeah.
My mom has been coming here, I don't know how long now, maybe 6 months, maybe
Yeah.
8 months, has been consistently coming at least 3 days a week here. And like she'll go on walks with me on occasion elsewhere. And she's lost like 35 pounds
Yeah.
too.
Yeah, she looks
So
great.
she's
She's
like
amazing.
35,
Yeah,
40 pounds. My mom
she's
has
doing
never
awesome.
worked out a day in her life
Yeah.
and she came to Sweat Bar. So that's
Yeah.
what I'm telling people. Like, you can come here and
Yeah.
literally, my mom has never worked out a day in her life. We went on walks. That's as much as my mom has ever
Yeah.
worked out in her life and maybe a yoga class,
Yeah.
you
And
know?
she's not like she work. I mean, she comes and she does
She
all the
does it.
she does
Yeah.
it awesome. Yeah,
And
she
my
does a really
mom
good
isn't
job.
young. Like, she's in her 50s,
Yeah.
you know, and she kills it, you know, like, and if she can't do the exercise, she modifies or does something else. And just coming here and like kind of watching what she eats, 35 pounds.
Yeah, that's
I'm like,
amazing. Good for her.
you know, it's doable.
Yeah.
It's just, you have to be motivated and it helps to have my
Yeah, it helps having that's
dad.
the other thing that we're doing with people now is that it helps me like to get more people into the gym, but it really does help other people when, you know, if they start reaching out to a friend saying like, "Hey, I just
Yeah.
started. Would you want to come, you know, check this out with me?" And it also helps that person because sometimes people just need you to reach out to them and say, like, you want to join me on this, and then they come check it out. And we do that 2 weeks on purpose, because usually in 2 weeks, like, if people just trying it, they fall in love with it, right? They fall in love with the community and the way that we run the program, not necessarily fall in love with exercising in 2 weeks. That takes a
And
little
the
bit more
people are
time.
nice here. So like you get to meet, like every time I come to a class that I'm not with my family, which I actually like because I actually get to talk to other people. And I'll meet someone that I like. So I'm like, oh, I wish I would come to the 9:30 class because I actually like that person that I worked out with today. So sometimes it is nice, like even if you come alone, like people are friendly here, they'll meet, you can pair up with them and they'll just like help you out and they're just kind. And
It's a fun environment for
yeah, and
sure.
you can like kind of talk a little bit sometimes when you're not out of
Yeah.
breath. So like you get to know them and
Yeah,
it's
sometimes they're
nice.
too good of friends. I'm like, hey guys, this is like non-talking
Yeah,
pacing.
like yeah.
But if that's what they're here for, like, just like to be able to talk and get some, like, I tell people, it's your workout. You do it as you want to do it. All the coaches are encouraging, if you're having, a little bit more fun talking a little bit, then talk, have some fun with your friends, whatever. But I think it's cliche. All gyms probably say this, that, like, it's just such this great community. It really is a great community. Like,
I
the
wouldn't be
cultures,
here for three and a half
yeah.
years if it wasn't.
It's definitely good. But I want to go back real quick, because you said something about, like, almost being down to where you were when you got married. You might be different, because it sounded like you were coming out of, like, a pretty fitness background. Like, you had in college at the sophomore year, you went up a little bit, and then you started 225. You got back down to, like, the 185. But I would almost argue that so at your weight, like, where you're at right now, I would be willing to bet that, like, a lot of people, even being 10 pounds heavier than they were, if they weren't doing anything before and now they've come back and they're doing fitness and they're building muscle and definition, the body composition probably, like, for a lot of people, will actually look better, even if you weigh a little bit more. You look stronger, you look healthier, you look fit. I think a lot of people, like, they focus on getting down to a certain number, but that's not always, like, your optimal health, right? Like, if you're functioning better and your energy levels are high and you feel confident and you look strong, which you do, like, do you need to get down to the numbers? And everyone's different, but, like, I think you having a goal and still working towards that is great. But I think where you're at now is just, like, amazing,
Yeah, it just honestly, I'm not even like trying now. Like it's like it's more like a maintaining status, and then if I happen to lose a pound or two, it is what it is. But I stopped kind of trying because I've kind of made more healthy lifestyle choices. Like I actually used your the thing you sent,
I'm like, wait, I'm waiting for this. Oh,
the menu
the protein
thing.
cookbook?
Yeah, I
Okay,
did.
yeah.
I made a couple
Nice.
things on there, and my husband was like, demolished the like
Yeah, they're
tabbouleh. Well,
good.
I'm Syrian, so like the tabbouleh is what we normally make, but we don't make it with like the extra chickpeas and stuff in it. And oh my God, he ate the whole bowl. He was like obsessed. He was like, we gotta make this again. We've made it twice. So like it's one of those things where I've just like picked different things out of like different cookbooks and like what you've sent me and things like that, and I'll make them. And like my kids will eat them. Like my kid ate asparagus the other day. And I didn't think he would ever eat asparagus. So like it's one of those things like if you never give it to them, you don't know if they like it or not. So I just
Exactly.
keep trying different stuff, trying to make healthy like dinners for everyone that they'll eat. And just slowly but surely like making lifestyle changes where I don't even have to think like, am I eating good today? It's like when I go to the, out to dinner and I want a big bowl of pasta, I get it. And then other times I'm thinking like maybe a side salad and a piece of meat, like, and I do that
I love that.
like subconsciously. I don't even think like this is healthier now. I just do it.
Yeah, it's like, well, I tell people, especially starting out, just be sensible and intuitive. So intuitive is, if you're hungry, eat. Like, don't starve yourself. Try to eat. Because people do that. They'll, like, try to not eat or restrict themselves during the day. And then what ends up happening is they end up just crashing at night and, like, snacking all night. So I just say, use your intuition. If you're hungry, eat. But when you eat, just try to be a little bit more sensible. Like, there's a big difference between fried chicken and grilled chicken. Like, a huge difference, right? So just make better choices the majority of the time. And then as you do that over and over and over again, it just becomes, like, natural. And you literally start to crave it. You crave it both ways. So if you start going down the fast food route and eating the junk, that's all your body's going to want. You're going to get addicted to the sugars and all that. But if you actually go the other route and you're eating greens and you're eating watermelon, and like you won't want to eat hoagies anymore. Like you'll actually want to eat really, really healthy. But a funny story about that cookbook, I'm so glad that you actually told me you use it, because this is why we as people suck. Literally, we suck. And I'm included in this. That cookbook, so all the members now, right away, I sent all the old members, like that have been here for a while, but anyone coming in new, we send them like five cookbooks. There's a smoothie cookbook, a high protein cookbook, which has like 47 recipes in it.
It's a big one.
There's a five ingredient cookbook, like where you can make a whole bunch of really healthy things that
Oh,
only have
that's the
five
one. I
ingredients.
lied.
Okay.
That's the one. Five
Yeah.
ingredients.
So really easy stuff to make, and it's really healthy, right? We send out all of these cookbooks, right? They're all really, really good. They tell you the exact macros, they tell you the groceries you need, everything. Really good content. No one ever pays attention to it because it's free. It comes in an email and they just assume like, oh, like this is probably junk or it's shit or whatever. And they don't pay attention to it. Like you're the one person. I literally brought this up to someone the other day and they were like, wait, because the bingo cards, we make them for one of the bingo slots. They have to cook from the protein
I
cookbook.
know I should have done the bingo card. I brought someone new and
Yeah, there you go.
I cooked from the cookbook.
Exactly. You
Gosh
would,
darn
and those
it.
were like the two hard things to do that
I know
month.
I worked the day that you said that it was ending, so I couldn't
Oh,
sign up, but
shit.
it's okay.
Yeah, we might still be able to get you in, but yeah. So the person was like, "Where's the protein cookbook at?" And I'm like, "Well, I sent you that email with all our like reference links," and they're like, "I'm not sure. I don't remember getting that." And I'm like,
I have it like
"That's
literally saved
yeah,
on my
good.
thing so I can
Yes.
like reference
So this is
it.
why I love you. This is like you guys are
Because we
awesome.
loved it. I made the
Yeah.
apple cake on one of them. Like I make a lot of stuff and I try to like make like sometimes I use like frozen stuff. Sometimes I make something easy, you know,
Yeah.
once a week who the kids get to go to Chick-fil-A after swimming. Like I have like a set like when I make the food
Yeah.
and I try to like do that. Like I try to like okay, 3 days a week and then I pick a recipe that I think everyone will like
That's the
and I
way to do
go and
it.
buy the food
Yeah.
and then I make sure I make it. And like that's kind of and sometimes I don't feel like it, but I still do it because like I bought the ingredients and I don't want them to go bad,
Yeah.
right? So like it's one of those things
Yeah,
where
you
like
just
I
do it.
make myself
You gotta
do
do
it.
it. That's awesome.
And like that's like and I just started getting into like cooking food like that because I used to be like here's a frozen piece of fish, here's
Right,
some
yeah.
vegetables, call it a day. But I started to like actually enjoy it. So
Prepping's where it's at.
yeah, like it's just it's I've tried the meal prepping. It
Yeah.
does not work for me.
Well, I mean, I shouldn't even say it like that. I just mean being thoughtful about like what the
Yes.
week ahead looks like and then buying the stuff and the
I
groceries and
think
then
it's
just doing
also,
that.
you know, if I worked a Monday through Friday job,
Yeah.
I would 100% get on the meal prepping,
Yeah.
you know, but I don't, so like I have some
It's hard to do it,
flexibility.
yeah.
And then like I'm home and I can make my own food on a Tuesday and I don't
Oh,
want
I
to
see.
eat the
Yeah.
thing that
Yeah.
I put in the fridge and then
Right.
it goes bad. And I've
Yep.
tried that like a million times. Like I'm like meal prep, meal prep, meal
Yeah.
prep, and I'll do it. And then I won't eat half the stuff and then I throw it away. So I've determined that like it just
Yeah.
easy meals for breakfast and lunch and then I try to make something
No,
for
that's
dinner.
awesome. I love that.
But it just has been working for me so far, but I'm sure meal prepping would be
Yeah.
better. It's just getting motivated to
No,
do
I
that.
think whatever works for people. It's so funny though because I talked about no one like looked at that protein cookbook, but when we run a challenge and we charge people like $99 to be in our challenge, and one of the things we do is we give you a cookbook, and then like we have someone running. So Chelsea, our coach, runs one of the groups that people are challenging, and she's posting every day. And one of the things we do is like, hey, you got to go in the cookbook, pick a recipe, you got to cook it, and then everyone's like commenting on each other's. They're like, oh my God, how was that? This is delicious. Oh, I love this. And like they use it and they love it.
Yeah.
But the second the challenge is over, they forget that they have a cookbook. And if I send it out for free, no one ever even knows it's up. But if I charge people $100 and I tell them to post it on Facebook, then all of a sudden everyone's using the cookbook. And it's like, so I'm glad to hear that you're using it.
Yeah,
And
I
like,
did.
if you have the flexibility, I see what you're saying now. You have the flexibility to actually just like cook and have like fresh
Like
stuff.
today, I
And
could go to the
yeah,
grocery
you can
store
just
right
do it. Yeah.
now and then cook before my kids
Yeah.
get
And
home.
I think people just have to figure out like, one of the things that's really hard for people is that they're making lifestyle changes, but they still have to cook for their family, right? And they're like, and it's hard to like figure out how to make healthy meals that everyone's gonna like, and they're a little bit more costly, and so it just becomes like this really hard thing to do. And I think if you just kind of ease into it, you know, like again, back to that sensibility factor where you don't have to like go off the deep end with like everyone's eating like asparagus and salmon every meal,
No,
you
no.
know, like it can just be like maybe not frozen pizzas,
Yeah.
you know,
Well, like I just
as
eased my
much.
kids in by like, you know, the first thing I did for my kids that was like on the healthier side was like the protein pasta,
Yeah.
right? So like I know my kids don't get enough protein. My one son, like he's just not a
No one
protein fan.
gets enough
Yeah,
protein.
he's just not a protein fan, right? So like I have to be like, eat your meatball, you know, like eat it. And I'll make meatballs homemade, and then I'll have like protein pasta. Now that's a lot of protein sometimes, but they don't eat very much. So and they'll eat the whole thing. They love it, and you can't even tell the difference. You really can't. I've made like, and just adding just like a little bit of protein pasta on the side. Sometimes I'm like, okay, they're getting at least something, you know. And I started giving my kids just like a little thing of salad. And if they wanted to pick on it, they could. And my one son, who's like the pickiest eater, demolished the salad. I was like shocked. So like I was shocked.
I
So
love that.
I know. So like you kind of are like, oh, they don't like that. Well, I just started like putting just like a little bit on their plate, and just a little bit, because you don't like I hated wasting food, you know. So I would put like a little bit, and if they wouldn't eat it, I just put it on my plate or put it on the other kid's plate. And they started eating it, and I was like shocked. Like, and tonight actually will be the first time my oldest tries salmon. So we're trying that. I'm nervous, but he's more daring with his food, unlike my youngest, but he's not daring at all.
I don't know. I think kids, it's the same thing. They just pick it up, you know, like if you kind of talk to them about like, hey, this is really good for you, it's gonna make you feel good, you know, and just you know, we want to try different foods and see like, you know, what it tastes like for you. I think they start liking to experiment, you know, and trying
Yeah,
different
like
things.
he was there at the store when I bought it, and I pulled it out, and I'm like, you want to try this? And he's like, why is it like slimy and squishy? And I'm like, it's good when it's cooked. You can try it. He's like, okay. So.
There you go. He'll love it, especially if you spice it up a little bit.
Oh, it has like a little like a garlic kind of stuff on top.
Yeah,
I'm like, he'll love
he'll be
it.
like,
He'll be
this is great.
fine.
My dad used to hide fish in spaghetti.
Okay.
And
Never had
obviously,
that.
like, it wasn't hidden, right? So I'm like, Dad, what is this? And he's like, oh, it's just eggs. And I'm like, well, why are eggs in spaghetti? You know, like, that would just be as bad. But I found out, like, it was tuna or something that he was, like, putting in the spaghetti. That was his way of, like, you know, kind of integrating it into me. But that didn't work so good because that just makes it taste, like, really weird and off-putting. I would have rather just try it. But, like, you know, our palates change. You know, we have seasons. I used to hate sushi. It's like one of my favorite things now.
I
I
know.
still have a hard time with some cooked fish, but for some reason I like raw fish. But yeah, I mean, it's just for me especially, like it was really big when I just started trying to cut out a lot of the shit and then eating healthier, especially as you're exercising. It's almost like your body craves the nutrients and you just want to have like healthier and healthier
Well, I
options.
feel like as you're like never satisfied when you're eating the junk. Like I'll be like,
You're
oh, I
not,
want something sweet, and I'll eat something sweet, and I'm like, oh, well, now I want something salty. I'll go get something salty, and I'm like, maybe I should have just had like a sandwich, or like maybe I should have just had, because like now all these calories that I just ate could have been like a full meal that would have probably filled me, right? Like, and sometimes I do that, and I don't even realize I'm doing it, and it is what it is. But like sometimes I'll be like, you know what? I'm hungry. I think I'm gonna make myself like a sandwich and a little salad on the side instead of picking. And it's definitely changed my mindset onto like what it's like my body needs. And sometimes I do not listen to it at work. That's a big thing because I work 12 hours and I'm busy. So I'll be starving myself literally all day, not on purpose. But it just my body's gotten used to that too. I'll live off of coffee for 12 hours, and then I'll go home and chug 6 bottles of water, and then I eat whatever I want. But
But I love what
comes with
you
the
said there
lifestyle.
about the calories, because a lot of people kind of understand calories in that, like, if you consume more than you burn, you gain weight. If you consume less, you'll lose weight over time. But they're always thinking of it in that context. Whereas what you just said was, if I'm gonna consume calories, like I want those calories to count, towards like fueling your body, right? Like getting the proper nutrients in. And so, like, I'm not there. I believe me, I eat snacks and I've drank the alcohol and all that stuff. I'm not downing it, but I just think like it helped me when my mindset shifted that, like, literally, when I eat that stuff, it's literally turning to fat, like, almost immediately. Like, maybe not immediately, but like, your body is not using any of that for nutrients. So, people drink their calories, not just alcohol, but like, if
I
you're drinking
know.
like Coca-Colas and even the diets and all, like,
Iced
it's
teas.
literally just your body's not using that for any kind of like replenishment. It's literally like putting really shitty gasoline into your car, which is just gonna like your car will use it as much as it can, but eventually it's just gonna like destroy the engine,
I
right?
try to convince my husband of that because he lives off of like iced tea and Red Bull and
Yeah.
coffee. And I'm like, babe, that you didn't drink any water today.
Yeah, right.
Like, you
Yeah.
need to drink
Yeah.
water.
Yeah.
Like, and he started like at least getting like a vitamin water, right?
Yeah.
I'll take that, you know, like whatever you can do, because he's just not a water drinker.
Yep.
And my one son drinks tons of water. My one drinks no water. I have to like secretly put water in his juice.
Yeah.
Like, it's like one of those. So I'm like, I just need to get them on like the water train with
Right.
me. I could chug water all day, not have
Yeah.
another sip of anything else, except
Yeah.
for maybe a cup of coffee. But I don't know how people don't drink water.
So this is my own philosophy. For me personally, it's like this, I know for sure, but it's kind of the same thing as eating healthy. When you start doing it, you want more and more and more of it, and your body kind of like craves it. If you get into a routine of drink, what, so one of the best things you can do is wake up in like the morning. First thing you do is just have like a glass of room temperature water. And if you want to add a lemon to it, there's a lot of like anecdotal stuff out there that talks about the benefits of adding just a lemon to water. Detoxes the body, right? Your body like replenished all night, detox it with a glass of water. But then if you continue with that and just having like sips of water throughout the day, you actually get thirstier for water. You'll actually crave water more and more and more. So the people that are so used to drinking water, they always say that. They're like, I don't know how people don't drink more water because
I
they're thirsty
know.
all the time and you're always drinking water. But when you get to a state where you've like actually not had water very much, like your body figures it out. Like you figure out how to like run off of water, and you're not optimal. To be optimal, you want to like make sure you're getting in enough water. Most people aren't. They're kind of in a dehydrated state and they're not performing as well as they could be in every area of life. Like it affects everything, right? But it's just like they don't feel it. Like
Yeah,
they're not
they're not
feeling like they
thirsty
need
for
the water.
water.
It's really weird. You don't feel like you need the water until you actually start drinking the water. And then when you drink more and more and more, it's like you want more and more and more.
Yeah,
So it's
I don't
like
know. I've just been a water drinker. I'll be swimming in the water, and
yeah.
I need water. Like literally, like I don't know how people don't drink water, but I think I just was born on like there was nothing else in the house. Like you drank milk, water, or maybe some orange juice.
Right. Yeah.
Like that's it.
But then the non-water drinkers, they don't know how you drink as much water as
Oh,
you do.
100%. My husband is the opposite of me, which I told you what he drinks. And
Yeah.
he'll literally be like, "How do you drink so much water?" I'm like, "I don't know. It's just a part of me,
It's
I
part of who I
guess. It's
am.
a part of who I am. And that's a part of who he is. So I don't
Yeah.
try to change it completely, but like he does need to drink a little bit of
Yeah.
water, you know?"
Well, it's not just him. So we ran a challenge where we gave people a target that they had to hit for 5 days in a row or something like that. And it was like 50 to 60% of their body weight in ounces of water, which is generally like a good rule of thumb as a minimum. And people literally were like, oh my God, like I'm gonna make it today, I swear, but I have to pee so bad. And like they're talking about like how proud they are that they've made it like 1 or 2 days, right? And it's like, you know, you're supposed to drink this like every
Every
day of your
day.
life, right? Like
I
it's
can't
to
say
them,
that
it's like a
I'm
goal that they
getting
hit at
100
one.
ounces a day,
Oh,
but
I don't drink anywhere near what I should drink.
no, me either. But I do drink a lot of water, like
Yeah.
compared to other people.
I
But I,
prioritize it a lot for exercising and stuff like
yeah.
that, but I don't, I'm really bad with and even some of the training I've done, I mean, my girlfriend got really mad at me at one point. She's like, you need to stop, because I called her and I was like, thought I was gonna have to go to the hospital. I was having a heat stroke, and she's like, she had to leave work to come down. I was doing a 20-mile run on the Montour Trail,
Oh my
and I was in
God.
really bad shape, and because it was so hot, and I just ran out of like water and stuff, and I just started like melting down, literally. And she got really mad at me. She's like, you need to start really focusing on
You
know, so I mean, we all
camelbacks.
Well, full of water. Literally what she said to me. She's like, why are you have to race with this on? Why are you not training with it on? And I'm like, I don't know. It drives me crazy. Anyway, let's end with this. So I always ask people this tough question, not in interviews necessarily, but it's kind of my way of seeing, you know, like where people are and helping them, like, you know, kind of, I'm usually working with them when I ask this question, but I'll ask you just because I'm curious. What's something that you're really proud of doing in the last 6 months? Is there anything that you're proud of? And it can be anything. It could be like from a parenting perspective, a work, relationships.
Proud of doing.
It's hard to answer on the spot.
Yeah.
Most people look at me like a deer in the headlights.
Now I'll think of something. So I think I'm going to go into like my fitness.
Yeah, that's good.
Kind of thing. Cause yeah. I think that's mostly what I'm proud of is like my progression in there.
Yeah.
But I can do like 20 push-ups, like real push-ups.
Nice.
And when I was back in the day, didn't share this with you, but I was in ROTC.
Okay.
For like a year.
Yeah.
And you had to do
20 straight push-ups?
I think so.
That's
awesome. It's close.
That's really awesome.
Yeah. And
we should be, to
be honest,
we need to celebrate that.
To be honest, I don't know if I can do it now after yesterday's arm workout because my arms hurt.
Can't wash my hair.
Yeah, literally my arms hurt. But yeah, like I can do like at least 15 straight. And then if I push myself,
that's
I probably
amazing.
Could do 20. That's and amazing. I started doing them like with my arms out.
Yeah.
And I've slowly, progressively got my arms like in. And like that, I don't think I've ever done a push-up the right way.
Yeah.
Which would be the arms in. And yeah. I at least can do 5 with my arms in.
Yeah.
And I've always done them like this. And I didn't even know that I was doing them wrong.
Right.
So slowly but surely, I'm getting my arms in and I can do like, I couldn't even do a real one when I started. So yeah. I had to be
that's
on my
amazing.
Knees or like elevated. So I would definitely say that's like something I've been proud of. It's like just busting out the some push-ups.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the, like, I'm trying really hard to capture people on video and pictures and stuff when they're like putting their goals up and then hitting their goals. Cause that's the stuff that I really want to be celebrating because like, everyone, like I say, gets focused on that one thing, but then they start seeing progress in all these other areas, and it's amazing what people are capable of doing. The fact that you're doing like 15, 20 straight push-ups, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, I could definitely, if you were watching me, I definitely could probably do more. Because when someone's watching you, you could do more.
Rachel's here. Oh. We're just like, we'll have an ad hoc, like, hi, Rachel. Our coach is walking the gym. Well, we'll wrap this up with that. I love that answer. I love asking that question because I'm really big on this kick of like, if you look at Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, so that's what basically is his, what drives human motivation. And so like at the bottom is things like food, shelter, water. And then you move up the pyramid, you have like, you know, belonging and love and support. And then at the very top is self-actualization, which is the realization of one's true potential. That's a really hard thing to think about. Like, what is my true potential on earth? But I ultimately think that like, Tony Robbins says, if you're not growing, you're dying. And I think the biggest thing for us is to not necessarily find our true potential. I don't know if we ever actually find it, but I think to chase our true potential is ultimately our purpose in life. Basically to show up the best version of ourselves everywhere we can, family, recreation, work, which you're the epitome of that. And I give you so many kudos across the board because like you're doing that everywhere, right? Like you're showing up the best version of yourself for your family, at work, in the gym, always working hard. But I think ultimately like you, people have to challenge themselves. And if you're not being challenged and you're not being pushed out of your comfort zone, you're never really growing as a person and you're never really chasing that self-actualization. Mm-hmm. So my easy test of figuring out whether or not you're doing that is just asking people what they're proud of. And if you don't have an answer to that question, it's not a bad thing. But if you don't have an answer to that question, typically it means that you're in a pretty stagnant phase of life. You're in a very comfortable spot. You're at the base of a mountain and you're just not going after anything. You're not challenging yourself. And ultimately, like, unless you do, you're not going to grow. You're not going to learn about yourself and figure stuff out. So I wish we had a whole nother hour to dive into like what you've learned about yourself and where you've gone internally over the last, you know, year and a half or whatever, or sorry, 3.5 years as you were doing your fitness journey. But maybe we'll do a follow-up at some point.
Sounds good.
You can dive into it. But was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
Fist bumps. Time to go coach class with Kristen, though.
Yeah, let's go coach class.
All right, let's do it. Oh, we didn't even get into you being a coach now.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Come to Sweat Bar and you can meet Coach Alexis.
Yeah.
And we're out.
We're out.
Hey everyone, Chad here. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Before you go, I want to make sure I mention some tools and resources that we have available for you. We are all about helping people chase their potential, helping them realize what they are truly capable of doing. And if you are a person that has a fire in your eyes, if you know that you're ready for change and that you are willing to take help and want the tools and you want the resources, we are here for you. We have a lot of things available. We have an in-body scan that shows us your skeletal muscle mass, your visceral fat levels. It shows us your body fat levels. A big underlying pin of a lot of problems is skeletal muscle mass. We got to make sure your skeletal muscle mass is going up. That's going to happen through resistance-based training and protein, and we can give you plans to make sure you're hitting that. If you're interested in becoming a member of our gym, we have a 2-week trial. It's only $30. It gives you access to all of our classes. You can check out all the class times. You can check out all the trainers, check out the community. If you just want information, we have a high value newsletter. It's going to tell you all kinds of things. It's going to tell you about macronutrients, protein, carbs, and fats. It's going to tell you about electrolytes. It's going to tell you about our 15-minute mindset and how to think about getting started. There's a lot of really good information that we have available. All you got to do is let us know. Message me any way possible. If you're seeing it on Facebook, you can send it there. You can Instagram me at chad.shipley. We're on at Sweat Bar Fitness, Facebook and Instagram. And then my phone number that we do all of our correspondence through is 412-899-1133. Again, 412-899-1133. Just message, put the word info, and I pick up all of those messages. I'll get back to you, and we'll get you as much as we possibly can. Let's go.